on the invitations in the Bible. I would like you to take your Bibles and I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. This is an invitation that was not given by God, but it was for God. It's a cry for help. And we need to understand that the world is a mission field. So the invitation this morning is come to the mission field. I'm not calling you to be missionaries. I'm just calling us to do the thing that Christ asked us to do in the first place. Be a witness. Come to the mission field. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 12. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 12. But before we read God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross for us. We thank you, Lord, that you reign in heaven. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would prevail this place, Lord. And Father, it would take away all distractions. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to what you want us to do, Lord. And help us, Lord, to come to the mission field. Lord, we just thank you and we ask that you change us today to make us more like you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our text this morning, in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 12, Paul and Silas are on the second missionary journey. They are currently in Asia Minor, or modern day Turkey. And so now it says here, verse 6, it says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia or Turkey, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. We see two verses here where God says, I don't want you to go there. When God doesn't want you to go someplace, he has some other open door for you. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, or modern day Troy. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, and here's the invitation, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and then from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. This was exciting times for the early church. The book of Acts talks about the history of the early church. And the issue is that we see the church is growing. We see at Pentecost there was 3,000 saved. In Acts chapter 6 verse 7 it says, and the word of God increased. Folks, it is the mission of our church for the word of God to increase.
Amen.
It says, and the number of disciples multiplied. It is the mission of this church for the number of disciples to multiply. That's called salvation of souls.
Amen.
In Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And the issue is that we don't take any preference on anybody. God's word and God's grace is for everyone.
Amen.
Is for everyone. So this is exciting times for the early church. One of the main characters of Acts is the Apostle Paul. And Paul was changed from a persecutor to a preacher. We saw about Peter responding to God and going to Cornelius. We see about Philip responding to God and the Holy Spirit and going to the Ethiopian eunuch. Folks, God has a special plan for each one of us in here. God has a special plan for people out there that don't even know that God has a plan for them. They need to be told. But we know Paul got converted on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. He saw a heavenly vision. He actually met Christ. Folks, you can't come to God unless you go through Christ.
Right.
And it changed him from being a persecutor of the church, from putting people in prison and being witness to Stephen's death, to being a preacher. God changes you. When you know Him as your Savior, you don't be the same. Old things passed away. All things become new.
Amen.
You know, our impact on the world goes beyond the people that we meet. You know, today, with cell phones and internet and everything else, things that happen are spread all over the place. And when Paul was converted, now he starts preaching, he's on his missionary journeys. It's found out. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "And they had heard only." Here's another city in Asia Minor. It says that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Folks, it's not what we say, it's how we live. It's what impact we have for God. It's giving our best for God in this world today, because we'll never know what that impact will be. People will hear about this. We have a footprint now in all sorts of places, because of people hearing about our church. Oh, folks, do people hear about our testimony? Do people hear about our love for lost souls? Paul was changed from persecutor to preacher. And he did exactly what God told him to do. When he was struck blind on the Damascus Road, he was told to go to Damascus and go down the city, the street that's called Straight, look for Ananias, and he was going to tell him what to do. He told Ananias in a dream, he says, "I've set Paul apart to be a special witness for me." Because Ananias said, Paul? Really? This Saul guy? He might even put me in jail. But God tells Ananias, and then Ananias tells Paul. He says, "But the Lord has said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel." See, we're all supposed to be a witness. He told his 12 disciples before he ascended, he said, "You're going to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world." He tells Paul the reverse. He says, "You're going to witness to the Gentiles and the kings and to the children of Israel." But you know something? You witness to everyone. The mission field is everyone. So it's exciting times for the early church. Paul changed from persecutor to preacher. And we see in this passage Paul's vision at Troas. The whole point about this is he was ready for the vision. In verses 6 and 7, we see that he wanted to go to certain places, and the Holy Spirit said, "Nope, not there." You know, sometimes we try to serve God in places that God doesn't want us to go. Sometimes we basically sit in a rut. We do the same old things over and over and over again. God wants us to expand beyond us and go out into the unknown. He wants to open a door to the unknown. So he was ready for the vision. He was being led by the Holy Spirit. He was going where the Holy Spirit says to go. So he's listening to God. And now he sees the vision in verse 9. And he heard the Macedonian call, which says, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." You know, if we were standing on a street corner and we saw a blind man that was going to walk out in front of a via bus, what would we do? Instinctively, we would grab that person and bring them back. Unfortunately, today we hear people crying for physical help. People that are being mugged in malls and kidnapped, crying for help. And there's people just standing around doing nothing. Paul's got this cry. He hears this cry of this man, "Come over and help us." And we see how he reacts. Folks, how do we react when we hear a cry for help? That's the main point today that I want us to all consider. How do we react when we hear a cry for help? Well, in verse 9 here, we see that lost souls call us to the mission field. We need to understand that there's more people than what's in this church. A lot more. And we can see what's going on in society today about there's people that don't even care about God. There are none that understand it. There's none that do it good. No, not one. They need to be saved. But God is not willing that any should perish. He has no joy, pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants all to come to repentance and to salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, not a chosen few, not a certain race, not a certain country, everyone. These people are lost and without hope. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12, it says that at a time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of Christ, having no hope. Here's a man in Macedonia that Paul sees as a bit, help me! Help me! And without God in the world, lost souls call us to the mission field because they have no hope, and we're supposed to give an answer of the hope that's in us. These people never heard the gospel. See, there's a problem today. We assume too much. We assume too much. You know, there are those today that have never heard even now. On more than one occasion, I've knocked on a door and witnessed to someone and gave them the plan of salvation. They said, I've never heard this before. Don't assume anything. Don't assume that someone, because they said, I know Jesus, that they're going to heaven. Don't assume that because someone says, I'm a Christian, now you're going to heaven. They might not be saved in the first place because the world's tested all those definitions. Don't hear and say, I'm a believer in God. Oh, that's good enough for me. No! No! Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Everywhere that Paul went, he preached the gospel message. And folks, if you go up to someone and just ask them, hey, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you die right now, would you go to heaven? Or is that something you say you're still working on? If you died today and stand before God, why would He let you in your heaven? You ask those questions, they're saved. They'll give you a good answer. They'll be happy to. But I wonder about the faith of some when you ask, well, I'm saved. I've been going to church all my life. I got baptized 20 years ago. I've seen people walk the aisles, been in church for 30 years. Lost. Lost. Never assume that people, just because they say something, they are who they say they are. Are there hypocrites in the world today? Yeah. Is there fake news today? Yeah. The issue is, there's people that have never heard the gospel. And then there's people that have only heard what the world says about the gospel. You don't want any of that Jesus stuff. When Paul finally gets to Rome, and he meets the Jews that are there, in Acts chapter 28, verse 22, he says this, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, the people who are following Jesus, this Nazarene sect that the Jews had labeled, he says, we know that everywhere is spoken against. Folks, isn't that today? Isn't that today about the truth and the gospel message? See, Galatia had heard that the man who persecuted the church had preached. That was word of mouth. Word of mouth got out in a negative sense too. And folks, there's people there that need to hear the gospel. And all they've been told is given a bunch of lies by the world. We can't let them die and go to hell. We need to come to the mission field. There's a necessity of a preacher. Well, I'm not a preacher. I don't have to do this. No. Paul told every one of his disciples, everyone that was beyond the disciples in that group that saw him ascend, he says, and ye shall be, after this you shall receive power, and you'll be my what? Witnesses unto me. Folks, we need to understand that there's people out there who never heard the gospel. They need to hear. And they can't hear unless someone goes forward and speaks. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Many times there were crowds following Jesus, and it says that Jesus had compassion on them, and he healed everyone, and he preached the kingdom of heaven. Folks, do we have that compassion? Or we say that we're not wanting to get involved. How do you react when you hear the cry for help? See, there's lost souls that call us to the mission field. Do you hear the call? Calls of lost? Are you willing to tell them about Christ and his love? We are approaching Easter. We're 2 weeks away from when some people will come to church when they won't go to church any other time. Invite people to church. Well, we got a small church. We'll make room.
Right.
We'll make room. Oh, lost souls, call us to the mission field. There are people that are lost and without hope. There's people who never heard the gospel. We have the answer. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. Secondly, love for souls should cause us to heed the call. Paul had a deep love for souls, just as God does. And folks, we need to have the love of God in our hearts. That's what 1 John's all about. Consider his love for the lost Jews. In Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, it says this. He says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart. In his other letters to other churches, he agonizes over people who have gone away from the gospel, who are trying to come in and snatch it away. He says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. And then he goes on and says that they will come to Christ. Paul was willing to give everything up to see his brethren, the Jews, get saved. Are we willing to put out that type of effort? Paul had a deep love for souls. His love for the lost Jews. His love for the lost Gentiles. In verses 19 and 20 of Romans chapter 50, he says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, and so that from Jerusalem and round about to Icarus, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. In Corinthians, he says, woe is me, necessity is laid on me. I got to preach this. I've got to preach this. And he didn't go where people had gone before. He'd gone where no man had gone before. And we're not talking about Star Trek. Okay? Verse 20 says, yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. He wasn't doing this for pride. He just wanted more people to hear the gospel. Folks, when you witness to your family, you're still not done. You still witness your family till they get saved. When you witness your coworkers, you're still not done. There's more coworkers. There's no workers out there. When you witness to your person next door, what about the guy next to him? Or the family across the street? There's people that haven't heard about the gospel. There's people that think they know the gospel, but they don't know it from the truth perspective. Look at Paul, the response of Paul and Silas to the call. In verse 10, it says, and after he seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go. Folks, some people have heard the call of God on their lives for years, and they're still thinking about it. Well, let me go and tell my family goodbye. Let me go and prepare for the journey. Christ said, don't do that. He sent his disciples out in Matthew chapter 10 to do the things that he did without food, without clothes, without money, without... Really, he just told them, said, just don't go to the Gentiles. Just go to the lost sheep of Israel. Just go. I'll take care of it. He went immediately. What are we waiting on? This call is real. The need is real. What are we waiting on? We should do it immediately. The response of Paul and Silas was intentional. If you look in verse 11 through 12, it says, "We made a straight course to Samothracia. We left where we are, we did it immediately, and we went straight to the mission field." And then it was intentional that in verse 12 it says, "We went to Philippi," which was a what? Chief city. They didn't go to some backwoods place. They went right to the heart of the matter. And folks, that's what we need to do. We need to understand there's a need. We need to understand that we need to heed the call and make it immediate and make it intentional. What would I'm going to get around to it? You'll never do it. Thirdly, it was invincible. The rest of this chapter talks about what happened. So they go to Philippi. There's a river. It goes down the river. Starts preaching the gospel. Lydia gets saved. Lydia invites him. Now they had a place to stay. See, God will take care of you. They're walking around the city in the street. There's this fortune teller says, "These are the men of the Most High God." Constantly wearied them. Turns around and casts the demon out. The demon-possessed fortune teller was delivered in verses 16 and 18. And then they got in trouble with the law, because the people who managed the fortune teller said, "We lost all of our money. Now we're not making any money." You cannot say God. You cannot serve God and man or money. So they throw him in jail. In verses 23 and 34, we see the conversion of the Philippian jailer, that in the middle of the jail, because they knew they were exactly where God wanted them to be, in the right place, talking to the right people. They were praying and praising God, and at midnight, what happened? An earthquake happened. We don't have to go all through the details, you know. And all the doors opened up, and the jailer thought that everybody ran away. He's going to commit suicide to pay for the sin of the doors being unlocked. And Paul and Silas says, "Don't do yourself any harm. Don't take your own life. Intervene." And they intervened in this guy's life. Brought him home. The jailer was saved. His family was saved. The story goes on. The next day, they find out that Paul was a Roman citizen. And the people, the rulers of the city said, "We kind of messed up here." See, Paul, God will use everything about you to do the mission. But you got to be ready to do it. You got to hear the call. You need to react to it. It needs to be immediate. It needs to be intentional. It needs to be invincible. It means you have victory. See, there's great victories that await us when we heed the call to reach the lost. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life." Christ said, "By your fruits ye shall know them." How can you convince me that you're who you say you are unless you do things that convince me that you are? That's what James said. It says, "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life." I think everyone in here wants to be wise. And he that winneth souls is what? Wise. My kids think that just coming to math class makes them mathematicians. They don't understand that they have to heed the lesson and do the work. They think it comes by osmosis. There are a lot of Christians think the same way. Right. "All I have to do is come to church and that's it." Nope. There's work to be done. Yes. He that winneth souls is wise. And if you're not wise, you're foolish. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says this, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's a story about, it's an account of Paul talking about what the resurrection of Christ really means. What does the resurrection of Christ really mean to you? What does Easter really mean to you? Does it mean something that motivates you to go out and share it with everybody else? It's good news.
Amen.
It's good news. Christ has given us the victory. So you can be immediate. So you can be intentional. So you can be invincible. So you can win. So we're more than conquerors through Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Folks, if you don't go out and witness as a Christian, if you don't come and witness to the mission field, what kind of Christian are you? If you don't take some steps into the unknown for fear of failure, what kind of faith is that? Folks, we have everything we need to win. We have the message. We have the method. We have the man, Christ Jesus. We have the mediator. We have all those things to do what he wants us to do. And he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go practice on your cat or your dog. And then you could talk to somebody else. Okay? So, love for lost souls should cause us to heed the call. So if we're not willing to witness, we're not reacting to the call very well. We're allowing people to go to hell. Literally.
Right.
Thirdly, look around. The mission field is surrounds us. The field is the world. Christ himself said that in Matthew 13, which is the kingdom parables. Starts off with the seed and the sower. And the seed is the gospel. The sower is God. It could also represent us. And then there's different grounds. It doesn't matter which ground you're on, you still sow. But in Matthew 13:38, he says, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And sometimes they look alike. But as they grow up, they go this way. And you can quickly identify who's true and who's false. But folks, sometimes there's Christians that don't understand truth from error. But John says we're supposed to understand the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, where's your faith this morning? Paul and Silas seized every opportunity in Macedonia. And we could read about it in the book of Acts. He goes on a second missionary journey. He goes on a third missionary journey. And he keeps on preaching the gospel. He keeps on preaching the message. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You're nothing without God. Your eternity is nothing without God. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. But his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. See, there's parables that Christ told about the talents. And the guy that got 10 talents went out and got 10 more talents. The guy that got 5 talents got 5 more talents. Both of them got commended by Christ. But then there's the one that had the one talent and dug it in a hole. Folks, that's what we do if we're ignoring the gospel call. We're taking the grace that saved us and we're just hiding it in the dirt. And we're not doing anything with it. And we're ignoring the call. We're ignoring the need. We're ignoring Christ's commandment. We're ignoring all these things. We need to go to the mission field. Come to the mission field. He says, so, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Do you heed the call this morning? Do you hear it? Do you see the need? We need to understand that we need to, first of all, hear the call. If you are deaf to this call, you need God. You need Christ. Maybe you can't hear because you don't know Christ. Maybe you never accepted Him as your Savior. Today is the day. Don't say, I've gone to church all my life. I was raised in a Christian family. I was baptized when I was a kid. Don't say those things. Was there a time in your life that said, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm on my way to hell. I can't get to heaven. God, you died on the cross for me. Christ, I know that you was buried and you rose again the third day. Forgive me my sins and save me. Be like the guy on the street corner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you ever come to the point in your life that you ask God to save you? If not, today is the day. You may not have another chance. You may not have another chance. Christian, will you respond to the call today? Will it be immediate? Will it be intentional? Will it be invincible? There's no better time to start than now. And if you are, great. Continue. But we need to sell out to God. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come to your house, Lord, and hear your word. Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will move at this time. Father, help change our lives. Father, if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, today, I pray that this will be their day of salvation. Lord, help us, Lord, to hear the call, Lord, and to be your witness, Lord, as you command. Father, you say in your word that whosoever shall call upon you shall not be ashamed. And if we confess you before men, you'll confess us before our Father in heaven. Lord, help us to be faithful stewards and faithful servants and faithful witnesses. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.